Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. So, Mom, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah.
It's that time of the year, one of my most favorite times.
Spring market or spring?
No, I start my co-ed bowling season.
What kind of bowling are we talking here? Are we talking what everybody else thinks is bowling or like classic New England candlepin?
So it's actually candlepin, and I'm on a co-ed team, and we range in age probably from 40 to like 85.
Okay. That must mean that like some people are really carrying the team, huh?
Actually not, because it's done like golf. You only have to get your average to help contribute to the team, or you have to get a little bit above your average. And I have to confess, being the athlete that I am and the competitive person that I am, when I first joined this team and I saw someone walk up with their walker to the line to throw their candlepin ball, I thought, this is a piece of cake. I'm going to be great. He got so many more pins down than I did. It wasn't even funny, but it's really fun. Yeah. I highly recommend people going out and bowling, whether they have kids or parents with them, or it's just a lot of fun. And I, it's great in the winter to have something like that to do.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it says a lot about the importance of technique, right? Like both in real estate and in candlepin bowling, skill matters.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't say that, because I think the thing that matters in both is patience. Like there's a deliberation and there's a style of doing it. And then you patiently wait to get yourself set and throw the ball as straight as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a powerhouse. You don't. You can be short, tall, you know, old, young, and that's nice.
Yeah, because you know, in candlepin, you know, it's such an accessible version of bowling because the balls are a lot smaller, a lot lighter, and the pins are a lot skinnier and easier to knock over.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I take my kids candlepin bowling in Somerville, and it's great because even like probably when my oldest was like 3 or 4, he could handle the ball by himself. He could get both hands on it. He can lift it. He can move it where he wanted it to go, which is so different from, you know, traditional, like the bowling that everybody else plays, where you got to just have a certain amount of muscle mass in your arm to get the ball going.
Correct.
Yeah.
Anyway, I highly recommend it. And I think it's a great time of year for me because it begins our season.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So this month, we're going to be talking about curb appeal in the New England spring. And so we're going to start off by talking about just the basics, because it is a little bit complicated here. Weather just makes it strange. You could get snow in April. You could get no snow throughout the winter. You could get rain. It could be cold. It could be warm. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen. And that New England climate really affects what you want to do with your curb appeal. So, Mom, what are like your top things that you think about vis-a-vis the weather in setting up your curb appeal for New England spring?
So I think it's a little bit complicated based on what you've just said, which is you can have a 50 degree week and then the next week it's 30 degrees.
Right.
I think generally speaking, I recommend to people that they have just their landscape kind of tidied up a little bit. A lot of people have yards where things have fallen or they've got pine cones or things like that. So my first instinct in kind of this transition, kind of what people used to call the mud season, because that's really for us, spring is what we think of when we think of mud season, is it's always hard, but you want to kind of hopefully get either a yard that's tidy. And then if the weather permits, then you can add some additional color or topiaries or things that kind of help make your entrance to the home a little bit more inviting.
Yeah, I think what my big thing with spring curb appeal is it's actually very hard to commit to anything that has to do with plants, right? Like if you're saying to yourself, hey, I'm going to plant a bunch of bulbs this fall and they're going to bloom in spring and it's going to look awesome. It's like, they might, right? But spring, they might bloom in early spring in March, or they might bloom in late spring. And then, you know, if that's your curb appeal plan, you might be in trouble. Whereas you can do some things with at least keeping it clean. And this is a theme that we talk about on right. this podcast. We're like, if your house is tidy and looks well cared for, especially outside, it makes a huge difference on how good your house looks. So when you do that fall cleanup, make sure you're actually getting all the debris out. And over the course of winter, some stuff just going to fall, like snow piles up on a branch and it's going to snap and land in your yard. You can pick up those onesies and twosies, but doing that big cleanup in the fall sets you up for success, because if you're leaning on plant growth, you're just like basically rolling the dice.
Yeah, it's such a crapshoot between whether March is nice, April's nice, or May's nice.
Right.
So you don't really know.
Right. You know, I heard someone say once, spring is the best day of the year in New England.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So given that, what do you think are like the top three curb appeal enhancements that really help, particularly in this region with this climate?
I think the fall cleanup and keep your yard tidy.
Yeah.
You know, raked, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I think that planters by the front door.
Yeah.
And sometimes accent pieces on a front porch, all those things help, because planters can be, you can change what's in them, whether it's a topiary, flowers, different seasonal pieces that you can get. But I definitely think that, and then accenting your front porch with, you know, a porch swing or a rocking chair, depending on how big it is. Mm-hmm. But I think yard, planters by the front door, and front porch.
Let's talk more about that, because what do you put in those planters?
Well, personally, I find that during the winter, because the weather is so cold and does not, and it, you know, nothing really grows. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes by a front door, it's all, sometimes it can be dark because there's a front porch, that I've actually gone to and found topiaries that are in plastic that I can use for the winter months if I just want to have something that looks great.
You mean they're like wrapped in plastic?
No, they're like, they're balls that are made out of plastic, so they're going to survive any winter, and they're in planters.
It's not a real plant.
It's not a real plant.
Interesting. Okay.
So I actually went to HomeSense when I was doing a house, getting a house ready that just wasn't that inviting at the front door. And so I have these two planters that I can put on either side of the front door with kind of fake topiaries that gets me through those winter months if someone says, I need to sell because I'm relocating or I need help.
Right.
So that's been a great kind of cheater for the winter months. Oftentimes I find people start doing pansies in that mud season beginning.
Yeah, I love the pansies in the planters because, you know, first of all, they look great, got lots of colors, they're dirt cheap, and second and third, it's like they only last a week anyways in the best of times. So like, if they get killed in a winter frost, it's not the end of the world.
Correct. And they definitely are the hardiest, right? Yeah. Where people are kind of transitioning between kind of going into that spring market. But I think you have to have a look, whatever the look is you want to be selling at that moment. And it's so dependent upon our temperatures.
Yeah.
And in New England, that's one of the things, if you're getting your house ready, it can change on a dime. So sometimes you start out with one approach to what you're going to put at the front door.
Yeah.
And that can change instantly when the temperatures drop 20 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that makes a lot of sense. And you talked about porch swings. So let's talk more about that. And decor, right? Because it doesn't just have to be something that you build into your house. It can be like front porch furniture, right? And that can look nice.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. I went to a house in Newton a couple weeks ago, and it was a really cool kind of older home, and they built a big wraparound porch. And on the porch, it had three great rocking chairs. And it was so inviting, and you walked in to the home, and you wanted to come out and sit on the porch on the rocking chairs and just sit there and watch people go by.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because everybody would say, well, are the rocking chairs staying? Because it was just, it was a really inviting environment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it just adds some interest, right? It takes a plain front porch and makes it seem like something can happen there. And when we sell houses, ultimately we're selling a lifestyle, right? And people look around that house, and if you invite them to see possibilities, it really improves your ability to sell your home.
I think in that it humanized how someone would be living that house. And it was an inviting moment where you wanted to sit down and enjoy it. And I think that's the best first impression you can have.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, what are, you know, we've got some common issues here. We've kind of touched on them, but for addressing muddy yards, debris from winter storms, and getting like lawns and gardens ready for the warmer months. I've got a few because I love to be in my yard and doing work on my yard.
And what do you do?
So the number one piece of damage you see that I see on my yard is the grass gets scraped up either by somebody snow shoveling, and you know the snow shovels go a little bit off the path and they shave off some dirt when they take up that snow. Even like a plow that's not being careful enough might grab some of your yard. Even your curb. So I don't actually have like a piece of stone between my curb and the street. So, you know, this winter a plow went by and just literally, you could just see, she shaved off part of the curb and there's like roots hanging out and everything. So you're going to end up with dirt patches. I think there's some great products out there to fill in those patches. I'm a big fan of this thing called Patchmaster from Scotts. I've had success basically everywhere I've used it. It's some combination of like seed and like pulped newspapers and fertilizer, and that, you know, you give it a couple of weeks and it'll come right back. There's other stuff out there that's a little more advanced, right? You've got hydro seed, right. You know, there's
sod.
Yeah, of course, sod. You're not going to have a lot of success, in my opinion, if you're just going with regular old grass seed. It's just not going to do the trick. It doesn't have enough oomph in it to turn a bare brown patch into a grass.
Instant lawn.
Yeah, into instant lawn, or even just like any lawn at all. I just haven't had success there. And then, you know, we again, debris from winter storm, just clean it up, right? Usually it's like a stick, so just like pick it up, put it somewhere. And then when it comes time to put your lawn debris on the curb for the trash guys, just throw it in there.
It was interesting last week when the weather kind of got a little bit warm. I was driving to an open house and there was a gentleman raking his front yard. And I thought to myself, we're kind of in that winter to spring kind of moment. But it was 50 degrees out and he was like, I'm going to get all the pine cones off. It was filled with pine cones.
Oh my gosh.
So it was, but it looked great. So half of it was done and it was completely, it looked green, like rich green grass. And the other was like covered with pine cones. So I was like, wow, that made instantly the house look different. Yeah, big difference.
Instant difference. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll take some questions from the audience.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
All right, Paige, you ready for the real estate joke of the week?
Oh, no. What is it?
All right. Why do real estate agents make great authors?
I have no idea. Great authors.
Yeah.
They can tell a story?
That's a good guess, but it's wrong. Because they have great plots.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. So we do have a question from the audience this week. asking about how can homeowners personalize their curb appeal while still fitting in with the traditional New England aesthetic. There are a few looks that are pretty common around here. So hydrangeas in one form or another. I see a lot of rhodies, rhododendrons, azaleas, and yeah, that's because they grow well here. And I think a lot of them are native to the area. But you can stand out, I think, with bulbs. You know, again, it's a little bit of roll of the dice on when they're going to bloom. But there's some that come out pretty reliably on times, like crocus. Those are usually the first flowers to bloom. They're my favorite because they mean the winter's coming to an end. And you can do, like, things that I've seen are pretty cool in a house. Or some people, they plant the crocus, like, in their lawn. So that in early spring, they get just a smattering of blue across the yard. And then when it comes time for spring, spring and summer, when you actually want to be in your yard, you lawn mow it and the flowers are out of the way and you have basically grass.
I think in New England, too, many people try to blend what I would consider a yard of deciduous plants, whether it's holly bushes or rhodies or trees, you know, Christmas tree, deciduous type trees like that. And then the great news is that gets you through the really tough times because you kind of have a greenness outside. And then the great thing that happens is spring allows the crocuses, the daffodils, the pansies, some of those ones that we see for those 2 or 3 months. And then you have the hydrangeas and all the tulips and all the things that people plant in their garden, geraniums. And that burst of color just enhances any house.
Yeah, I agree. So thanks so much for that great question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.